The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, February 27th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, "Woeful Water Tough for City. Public complains of foul taste, odor, as workers try to fix it," by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. Since the city of Bloomington switched its water supply from Lake Bloomington to Lake Evergreen last month, staff have heard numerous complaints about the taste and odor of water from the new source. During Monday's City Council meeting, Bloomington resident Gary Lambert said his drinking water smells and tastes like it's been coming out of a septic tank. As a result of these issues, some area businesses have observed increased sales of bottled water or complaints from customers about the taste of water served in restaurants. Matt Chenoweth, a store manager for Hy-Vee in Bloomington, said he has definitely seen an uptick in the movement of bottled water and purified water since the switch. Customers also have been making online orders for drinking water, which Chenoweth said was interesting. "It's to the point where I've ordered extra trucks on day-to-day loads," Chenoweth said. During a presentation earlier this month, Bloomington Water Director Ed Andrews assured residents that the water is safe to drink and continues to meet all state and federal water quality standards. However, the city is actively making adjustments to improve the water quality as quickly as possible, he said. In a news release issued Tuesday, City Manager Jeff Jurgens stated, "We understand that our residents expect and deserve high-quality water, and the current taste and odor issues are completely out of line with those expectations. While our testing shows the water is safe to drink, we know this situation is unacceptable, and we are treating it with urgency. Our team is working aggressively to implement both immediate and long-term solutions, and we won't stop until the issue is fully addressed. Until a long-term solution can be put in place, the city is looking to reduce its rates of filtration and revisit the use of old purification techniques." Bloomington currently tests for two naturally occurring compounds, geosmin and methyl isoborneol, which can give water a musty taste and odor, but do not pose a public health risk. The city had been pumping from both lakes up until September 3rd of last year. Although levels under 10 nanograms per liter generally do not result in taste and odor complaints, the methyl isoborneol levels were at 45 nanograms per liter in Lake Bloomington and 61 nanograms per liter in Lake Evergreen when the city switched exclusively to Lake Bloomington the week of September 10th. Catherine Murphy, Communications and External Affairs Manager for Bloomington, said a multitude of factors determine whether the city switches lakes to pump from. It could be a result of compound levels, odor complaints, or a combination of the two. Bloomington attempted to switch to Lake Evergreen in October, but after receiving additional taste and odor complaints, it continued to pump solely from Lake Bloomington until the most recent switch on January 31st. Andrews had said that methyl isoborneol levels tested at 250 nanograms per liter in Lake Evergreen and 200 nanograms per liter in Lake Bloomington the week of February 4th. TJ Shaba, manager of the Garden of Paradise restaurant in Bloomington since 2002, said while the restaurant boils water for its homemade soups every day, it's become a problem when customers request drinking water for their table. We've got complaints about it. It's an everyday story. We have customers bringing in their own bottled water and our employees bringing their own water, Shaba said. He said they have tried putting filters in their coffee and tea machines, but it is not doing much since the water is still affecting the quality. We're in 2025. We're not in the Stone Age about getting clean water. We need to invest in that, Shaba explained. The Bloomington water is hurting us. It's affecting business. People are trying to avoid Bloomington businesses right now because of the water. To help reduce the amount of taste and odor compounds, City of Bloomington staff have reduced the filter loading rate by bringing an additional 6 filters online, according to a Monday news release from the city. As of Monday, 3 of these filters have been activated, and the others will follow based on operational demand. As a stopgap measure until a long-term solution is in place, the city is also looking to restart its powder-activated carbon feed system or pursue a rental system. Dating back to the 1980s, the city had used a PAC system for water filtration. This system, which aged out in the early 2000s, required 50-pound bags of carbon to be manually fed. When it was determined that PAC failed to control tastes and odors, the city decided to use granular activated carbon in all of its filters, starting in 1994. The city is expected to submit an emergency operating permit for a temporary PAC system by next week. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has requested an evaluation if the city chooses to restart its old system. The city has been in contact with 3 potential suppliers for a permanent PAC silo for large-scale storage and dosing. 2 of the 3 vendors indicated that they can deliver by silo by January 2026, so long as a purchase order can be issued by next month. Andrews said the long-term plan would be to maintain the GAC system for baseline water treatment and use a PAC system for any seasonal peaks in odor or taste. According to a news release from the city, the PAC required to address the current taste and odor problems would cost between $500,000 to $1 million annually. The current GAC system operates at $155,000 annually. Upcoming rainfall and ice melt are expected to recharge lake levels and dilute taste and odor-causing compounds. Staff will continue to test algae for the presence of organisms as well. And here is a related state story headlined, State may okay wastewater sales. Legislation may let Bloomington Normal Sanitary District supply businesses. By Brendan Moore. Springfield. Flushing a toilet or washing the dishes in Bloomington or Normal isn't just the sanitary thing to do. It may soon also support regional economic development. State lawmakers are considering legislation that would allow the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District to sell treated wastewater to private businesses located within 50 miles of the Twin Cities. House Bill 1538, sponsored by State Representative Sharon Chung, Democrat of Bloomington, would also allow BNWRD to accept wastewater for treatment from these outside entities. It passed out of committee without opposition on Tuesday. BNWRD Director Timothy Irwin, who appeared alongside Chung during the brief hearing at the state capitol, said the legislation was an initial step to open new economic development opportunities in the surrounding area. The objective is that we can bring the wastewater to our facility and use our facilities to clean it before it is released back into the environment, Irwin said. And then by selling our effluent, we can offset drinking water being used in operations such as cooling industries and commercial businesses. So it's actually working towards water conservation. Presently, most wastewater treated by BNWRD flows into either Sugar Creek or Little Kickapoo Creek. But Irwin said the district can divert a portion to cooling centers for data centers or to businesses with water-heavy manufacturing processes, for example. If approved by the state legislature and signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker, BNWRD would be the second sanitary district allowed to sell treated wastewater. In 2007, then-Governor Rod Blagojevich signed legislation permitting the Sanitary District of Decatur to sell its wastewater. This would have allowed the district to pipe water to a proposed power plant in Taylorville, as that city's existing water treatment facility did not have enough capacity. The water would have been used to help convert coal into a clean burning gas that would have generated an estimated 630 megawatts of power. But plans for the plant were ultimately scrapped in 2013. Kent Newton, the director of the Sanitary District of Decatur, said the district has since never utilized the provision. He cited the infrastructure costs and a very expensive process to get the water to a quality that can be reused as barriers for potential businesses. Usually, there are alternatives that are less expensive for whoever needs water, Newton said. So there's been discussion, but there's never been anything really where it made economic sense. Unlike the previous Decatur scenario, Irwin said the current proposal is not tied to any specific project. Between its two water treatment facilities, BNWRD treats an average of 30 million gallons of water per day, according to the district. Reclaimed water is often used in the irrigation of crops, golf courses, and parks, along with industrial processes. It is a more common practice in the western United States, where water resources are more scarce. For us, we just feel it's the appropriate thing to look at for central Illinois, Irwin said. Even though we do have supplies of waters, water conservation is critical for the future. The bill now moves to the full House floor. And here is another front page local story entitled Public Safety. Police kill person. ISP investigating. By Pantograph staff. Bloomington. Illinois State Police is investigating after the Bloomington Police Department said its officers shot and killed a person who was armed Tuesday on the southeast side of the city. Bloomington police were called about 4:45 p.m. to the 700 block of Fairmont Drive for a report of an armed subject, according to a news release issued Tuesday evening from the Bloomington Police Department. Upon arrival, officers made contact with the armed subject, who had been reportedly seen by several witnesses, the news release said. As the call for service progressed, the officers fired their duty weapons and the subject was struck, the news release continued. Life-saving measures were attempted at the scene, but the subject died of their injuries, according to the news release. The person was pronounced deceased by the McLean County Coroner's Office. No officers were injured during this incident, Bloomington police said. Illinois State Police was contacted immediately to investigate, as the incident involved the use of deadly force. The state agency said Wednesday it is actively investigating, and no additional information will be released at this time. More than a dozen Bloomington police vehicles were seen in the area Tuesday night. The McLean County Sheriff's Office, Bloomington Fire Department, and Normal Police Department also responded. At the scene, Arcadia Drive was blocked at Fairmont Drive and Lincoln Street, and police advised the public to avoid the area. Crime scene tape encircled several buildings, with officers posted around the perimeter. A covered stretcher was removed from the building at 806 Arcadia Drive shortly before 8 p.m. Area resident Mayank Yadav said he heard gunfire earlier in the evening and then saw police running to the scene. He described looking out his window to see officers armed with big guns, then figured it was best to stay inside. In an interview with the Pantograph, he expressed relief that the gunfire was soon over. Neighbor David Curry said he didn't hear the gunfire, but he heard sirens and came outside to see what was happening after noticing the heavy police presence. "This is very unusual," he said. "We don't have a lot of traffic on this road." Curry, 66, said he has lived in the neighborhood for roughly 12 years. "People generally keep to themselves," he said. "It's a great neighborhood, very quiet," he said. "Almost nothing ever happens here." And here is a follow-up on that story entitled Coroner. 15-year-old boy from Normal identified as person shot, killed by Bloomington police. By Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. Authorities have identified a 15-year-old boy as the armed person who Bloomington police shot and killed Tuesday night. McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder said the boy was identified as Cole L.M. Turner of Normal. Preliminary autopsy results indicate he died from multiple gunshot wounds. Bloomington police said officers made contact with Turner in the 800 block of Arcadia Drive after multiple callers reported an armed subject in the area. As the call for service progressed, the officers fired their duty weapons and the subject was struck, Bloomington police said in a prepared statement Tuesday. No officers were injured. Bloomington police said after they fired on the boy, life-saving messages were attempted, but he died of his injuries. Illinois State Police was called to the scene to investigate Bloomington's use of deadly force. The state agency said on Wednesday the investigation is active and no additional information would be released at that time. Yoder said the incident is also under investigation by the coroner's office. Toxicology testing is pending, she added. Regional Superintendent Mark Jontry confirmed Wednesday that Turner was enrolled as a student at the Regional Alternative School in Bloomington at the start of this school year, having previously attended McLean County Unit 5 schools. The entire RAS family is saddened by his passing and offers condolences to his family and friends, Jontry said in an email. We have made additional counselors available to students and staff and will continue to do so through this week. The next article is headlined, Abuse of Minor Nets 5 Years, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A McLean County judge sentenced a man to 5 years in prison this week after he pleaded guilty to aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Joshua A. Collins, 26, whose city of residence was not available, appeared for a sentencing hearing Tuesday afternoon before Judge Jason Chambers. Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido appeared on behalf of the prosecution, and Assistant Public Defender Brian McEldowney represented Collins. Collins was originally charged with 6 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a victim between the ages of 13 and 17, all of which were charged as Class II felonies. He pleaded guilty to 1 count, and the state dismissed the remaining 5 counts. Chambers sentenced him to 5 years in the Department of Corrections on the single count, which will be followed by a term of mandatory supervised release. Collins will also be required to register as a sex offender. A Bloomington detective testified Tuesday as part of the state's evidence in aggravation and said Collins had a video call on February 7th while he was in custody. The detective, who regularly handles crimes against children, said the girl who was named as a victim in this case appeared on the call and asked Collins if he remembered who she was. Collins responded with, "I hope you're still my girl." A video of this jail call was shown in court Tuesday. Guido noted Collins was ordered to have no contact with the named victim or anyone under 18 when he was detained for this offense in October. The named victim is still a minor. The prosecutor asked Chambers to sentence Collins to a term of 7 years in the Department of Corrections, which is the maximum sentence for this case. Guido noted the defendant was eligible to serve either a term of probation or 3 to 7 years in prison. McEldowney did not provide additional evidence in mitigation. However, when he gave his sentence recommendations, McEldowney said the video call was originally placed to another person, and the victim happened to have been present. The defense attorney also said Collins had a difficult childhood, as well as substance abuse and mental health issues, for which he has not received adequate treatment. McEldowney asked Chambers to give Collins a term of probation to allow him to engage in counseling for his mental health, sex offender treatment, and substance abuse treatment. That would be the safest course of action to ensure he doesn't engage in behavior like this in the future, McEldowney said. The judge said he considered all factors, and he ultimately ruled a prison sentence was necessary in this case because of the defendant's continued contact with the minor. McEldowney declined to comment after the sentencing hearing. The next story is entitled Health Alliance to End Coverage by Matus Janik. Bloomington. Carle Health has announced that its health care plans through Health Alliance will cease operations at the end of this year. Health Alliance, a subsidiary of Carle Health that is based in Champaign and provides health insurance in central and southern Illinois, will discontinue all of its plans except for Medicare Advantage on January 1, 2026. Health Alliance's health plans will maintain operations to support claims processing and meet ongoing business needs, regulatory mandates, and contractual obligations throughout the remainder of 2025, according to a statement from Carle Health. Membership information will continue to be available through the Halley/MyChart platform beyond the end of the year. Carle Health has had to make decisions that enable us to better focus on our core services built around the health and well-being of patients, said Dr. James C. Leonard, President and CEO of Carle Health, in a statement. We recognize that in today's health insurance environment, our health plans no longer successfully compete, and Carle Health must effectively utilize our resources to meet the changing needs of customers. Health Alliance has more than 600 employees and supports more than 240,000 members. More than 11,000 of those members are in the Bloomington-Normal area, according to Carle. Carle's First Carolina Care, which is based in North Carolina, will also cease operations for all except Medicare Advantage. Carle Health leaders said they have begun to communicate with employees, customers, and affected partners about the changes. We are so grateful for the commitment of all the health plan employees who will continue to serve customers as we navigate this transition, said Sinead Madigan, Health Alliance President, in a statement. They have consistently brought innovative solutions, unique programming, and unmatched customer service to improve the health outcomes of those we serve for decades, and that impact is felt by members across the country. According to a news release from Carle, the health insurance industry has changed dramatically, particularly for provider-owned insurers. This has led health plans like Health Alliance to struggle to achieve operational and financial efficiency. Other factors like medical inflation, rising prescription drug costs, increased utilization of healthcare services, higher volumes of chronic medical conditions, coupled with an increased demand for technology and broad networks, have placed considerable financial strain on those organizations, according to the news release. Here's an item entitled IWU to Host Mayoral Panel. Bloomington. Illinois Wesleyan University is hosting a student-led panel for Bloomington mayoral candidates from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Sunday. The panel is open to the public and will be held in the Young Main Lounge inside the Memorial Center at 104 East University Avenue in Bloomington. Free parking is available south of Gulick Hall at 109 East University Avenue. According to a news release, this student-led panel will provide a platform for the Bloomington mayoral candidates to discuss their vision for the community. The event will also emphasize the importance of engagement from the voters under the age of 25 in local elections. Attendees can submit questions for the candidates in advance at tinyurl.com/IWU Bloomington Mayoral for a Q&A session during the event. IWU Center for Engaged Learning and IWU Student Senate are sponsoring the panel. For more information, email cpavlice@iwu.edu or govens@iwu.edu. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pentagraph for February 27th. Please stay tuned.